questions for you. This kid's gonna test my will. I got a lot to learn and my baby's due.
Welcome back. We're talking to fit pregnancy cover model Daniela Rua.
Cover model.
And her fitness trainer, Patrick Murphy. That cover is an awesome picture.
Thank you.
It looks like you're suspended in air.
I kind of have anybody who follows me on social media will know that I have like this stereotype jump that I do, which is pretty much that one. I love doing it. We did a photo session recently. And I did it again now that I'm close to my due date.
Amazing shot.
When I was doing it, I was like, please don't break water. Please don't break it. <Yeah. laughs> not time yet, please. I was like, this might be the last time that I do this jump until after my daughter's born.
They caught you mid-jump with the bump.
Yeah. But it's fun, and I feel good doing it, and I just like it. It's fun.
Sweet. Well, it looks great.
Thanks.
I have to read the articles now. Let's talk a little bit about nutrition. Patrick, you do different workouts, not just for different people, but even for the same people. They don't get bored because you're always changing it up.
Oh, yeah. We avoid plateaus.
It's only one half of the equation for you. Then there's also you are what you eat. So tell me more about your thoughts on that.
Well, I begin with looking into the gut health, the microbiome. It's very important. It's all important. Your microbiome is 75% of your immune system. We're playing this little game of 100 trillion microorganisms in and on our body. So that tells us, guess what? We are only 10% human DNA. So who's controlling who here? Why are you eating that food? Well, unhealthy bacteria craves the sugars, and the healthy bacteria craves the healthier foods. So when you make those choices that aren't good for you, is what I'm here to say, is the microorganisms are telling the brain to make that decision, controlling you.
Wow.
Yes. So there's a lot to it. So
literally alien invaders pulling the strings.
Right? So
that makes so much sense to me, actually.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times I'll eat stuff. I'm not a healthy eater by nature, but I'll eat stuff and don't want to.
Right.
And you're telling me it's
your gut, coming from your gut flow.
It's coming from my microorganisms. There's organisms in there saying, we want that.
That's right. And they create the cravings.
Wow.
And also cravings come from the palate as well, that little game too. So the healthier your gut, the more absorption your body will absorb, the more nutrition you'll absorb in your diet. So it's all important to create a healthy environment for your gut, and that's where the probiotic foods come in.
What are some of the probiotic foods?
Well, kefir would be one. Cultured vegetables you can get. You can get
kimchi. I feel like these are foreign terms to a lot of people. What is kefir?
Kefir is the champagne of yogurt.
That's a great way to sell it.
That's what it is. And if I suggest
sparkling
exactly
yogurt?
Which one you want to get is the plain and unsweetened, no added sugar,
right.
Plain and unsweetened. The probiotic foods, there's a plethora of them. Kimchi is another one. Sauerkraut. And you can also take a pill form as well.
So these foods have bacteria in them?
Yes.
Or they promote the growth of healthy bacteria?
Correct.
Both.
And I like to change them around. There's so much unknown still to this day regarding the microbiome. I actually implement and I change and I vary my supplements and my probiotic foods in my diet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always just hitting on them two or three times a day.
So when you're working with your clients, are you constantly analyzing what they're eating?
Yeah, absolutely. We do food journals. We discuss food all the time.
Been there.
Yeah. She loves.
Used to. Used to. I'm not that bad anymore.
What do you love?
I used to be a big sweet tooth. Like
really?
A big, big, big sweet tooth.
Grilled cheese. You like grilled cheese sandwiches too.
I do like some grilled cheese sandwiches.
Finally,
and like
we have something in common.
But right. I eat them in moderation, you know, and
that's
yeah.
Where
and but also I'm also doing a lot of exercise as much as I can at the same time. And this is pre-pregnancy, so this has nothing to do with pregnancy cravings. I just like these things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But one thing that Patrick had me do was that there are these little cans of pure green tea. Not now, again, not during pregnancy because there's a lot of caffeine in that. But before pregnancy, just pure green tea, unsweetened. And it was so bitter when I started drinking that stuff. But somehow over time, it started tasting less and less bitter to me. And then it sort of transitioned into just not needing as much sweetness. So, you know, when I drink tea, I don't put sugar in there anymore.
So one of the things that need to be done is to get rid of the sugar craving or to get rid of the sugar palate issue is you implement more opposite of sweet foods, bitter, tart. Like a Granny Smith apple would be opposite of sweet.
That is so interesting. Is it matcha?
Green tea. Or is it just you could do a matcha, but almost any green tea has that bitter bite to it. A lot of them do. Endive salad, bitter bite, and so on and so forth.
Is there benefit specifically to the green tea that you're looking for, or is it just the palate? You're training the palate.
Yeah, you're trying to get away from sweet taste to shift into a more neutral position on your palate. Let me see. What's another?
When I juiced for a long time recently, I did a 120-day juice cleanse, nothing but juice. And it was incredible to me how I had to plow through the first 7 days, crazy headaches, moody, like, really. I guess my wife would probably say I'm moody anyway, but I felt moody. I didn't want to be around me for that period of time. I thought my brain was going to explode. It hurt so bad. And I was having diet soda all the time to stay awake. And a lot of sugar and fat.
Yeah, you're definitely detoxing.
I was sweating. I was like hardcore detox. And after 7 days, it kind of I hit a peak around 3 or 4 days. By 7 days, it was I could live with myself again. Mm. And by 10 days, gone, zero cravings. I would just have the juice. I'd stop thinking about all day. What am I going to eat next? And before that, it could be like Thanksgiving dinner. I'll sit at the table and eat everything, too much of everything, and I can't even breathe. And my brain is still thinking, what am I going to eat? What am I going to eat? What am I going to eat? After 10 days of juice cleansing, I didn't feel any of that. From day 10 to day 110, zero, almost zero cravings. I would smell things in the office, people. You make good stuff, too. Michael, we share an office.
I do.
I would smell things, and they smell amazing. But I would just, like, smell it and enjoy the smell and move on versus, like, when I'm not in that mode, I'd smell it and be thinking about it all day. There's no way. Like, every minute is a struggle not to have it. So there's this very palpable change, rewiring of the brain. But it's like the switch is either on or the switch is off. There's very little in between for me anyway. And when the switch is on, it's almost what you were saying, Patrick. I would love to take water with ice and squeeze lime in there and just slowly sip the lime juice. That's and it just carries me through. Like, who knew water can be satisfying?
Another big one, too, I want to mention is apple cider vinegar. I have people do shots of that who have really serious sugar problems. So opposite
training
sweet.
The palate.
That's right.
Specifically.
That's right. Neutralizing it, getting rid of that sugar craving in your mouth and in your palate. And then we have over 10,000 taste buds in our mouth, so we
10,000 taste buds.
We have to shape.
Do we get a craving for? Is the hope to get a craving for something less unhealthy, or just to get rid of cravings?
Well, craving something less unhealthy is going to come from the gut and also the palate. So we're going to attack the palate and try to neutralize that with bitter, tart foods or beverages, and also go after the probiotics for the healthy gut.
Two-pronged approach.
You know, there's a, so I'm not certified or doctor or a nutritionist, but there was something
but
that
you
I read.
You could play one on TV.
I could play one. I could pretend to be one. No, but there was this really interesting piece of information that I read in a book that was all about processed foods. And I guess there was some German scientist who suggested that maybe on our tongue, you know, the different areas of the tongue that are responsible for receiving different kinds of flavors, that the tip of the tongue was responsible for absorbing the sweetness. But that was just kind of a suggestion. It was misinterpreted because it turned out that although, you know, sour and tart and different things are in different sections of your tongue, the entire tongue absorbs sweetness. So we are so predisposed to want something sweet. Yeah, so much more than any other flavor. And, you know, that makes it even more of a, I guess, fight or struggle to try
and
fight that. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think working out has changes that as well?
Well,
or is it more psychological there?
Like, well, the good news is the exercise is going to elevate your mood in a better way. So if you're a moody person or having a moody pregnancy, exercise is going to help your mood.
You just pointed at me.
It's also balance hormones. The healthier your gut, the more balanced hormones you have too.
Let's talk a little bit about postpartum. You've already done it once, right? How was the transition for you?
My doctor said for the first 6 weeks, stay put until your body goes back to its original position. You know, all your insides are back where they're supposed to be. And then when I went for my 6 week checkups, she said you're fine. You're clear to start working out. And there were moments during those 6 weeks where I felt very sedentary, even though I was tired and I was breastfeeding a baby and I was, you know. It like I said before, like, it's tough to get started. It is what it is, you know.
After the 6 weeks to pick back
after
up.
After any period
out until
of time.
The end.
Pretty much, yeah. I think I want to say that I worked out with Patrick probably, you know, less than a week before my son was born.
Yes.
But it, pregnancy or not pregnancy, the point is whether you're, it's much harder to get into shape than it is to lose that shape.
Mm-hmm.
So 6 weeks because of postpartum or just because I'm lazy or just because I'm working too much, the point is it's always a little tough to restart.
Right.
You know, yeah. But I also
I like how Danielle is trying to appeal to the masses. The truth is,
yeah, but
as her trainer, she shows up and she kicks butt. She comes in and she's serious.
Is it hard to push her?
No. She sometimes asks for heavier weights.
That's what I'm saying.
Sometimes.
Yeah, that's what I'm
and
saying.
There are the other days where I'm like, Patrick, today is just one of those days where you need to like reduce the weight.
No, but I'm always happy with the workouts when she leaves.
Yeah. No, I am too. And even when I don't feel like it, I feel happy that I went. It's just like you were saying earlier, you know, it's like I may not want to be at the workout, but I feel really satisfied when it's done.
When it's done, yeah.
You know, but yeah, so it's a little bit tough to start, but once you start seeing minimal results or you have that energy, I mean, it will creep in. You know what I mean?
I've had patients, actors, who have to be back on camera 6 weeks after they have the baby. So you must encounter that, Patrick, with your clients. If the doctors are saying no workouts,
I've got to follow that. I have to follow
that. You follow it? No workouts at all?
If that's what the doctor's saying.
So all you have to work with is nutrition?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, nutrition's, you know, it's always... We should always be on point with that as much as possible. I mean, honestly, with the nutrition, I pay that 10-90 rule. 10% of the time, you can have whatever you want, but 10% in a month is only 3 meals in a whole month.
Oh, wow.
So I never take a day off. I'll take a meal off, but not a day off. So I try to get my clients, of course, you can have whatever you want, but it's rare.
Yeah, but I mean, is there nutritionally some kind of approach to balance needing to lose weight? Or wanting to,
well,
to
the,
feel better.
Well, during pregnancy, I'm definitely not about, this is, during pregnancy, it's never about a weight loss program, that's for sure. It's maintenance, strength, pain-free. When someone, depending on what they want, what their goals are, when they come to me after baby, it depends on the individual and how strict and how hardcore we want to go with this and how fast they have to get somewhere. Because I don't mind doing baby steps and getting somewhere either and taking extra 2 or 3 months to get
sure,
somewhere.
Sure, it takes
either.
9 months to get on, so it's right? It's reasonable to take time to come
on. That
off.
Depends on the individual.
I just see people in a rush for various different reasons. Sometimes in the industry, they don't have a choice. It's, or, you know,
which is such a sad statement.
I mean, there is a appropriate balance, though. Like, I figure out someone's resting metabolic rate. I don't have them starve themselves to lose weight ever. So, you know, there is
because
science.
There's
being
also
done.
Breast milk and there's health. You know, you don't want to be pumping water.
That's right. You want enough breast milk for the baby, absolutely.
Well, and you want it to be sustainable. I feel like people who drop weight really, really fast, if that was their goal, you know, by starving themselves,
I don't believe in
it's that. Not sustainable. Like you can't live like that for the rest of your life. You've got to eat. You know what I mean? So if you do it, you know, incrementally and you know, in baby steps, as Patrick said, if you have the time for that, then, you know, I would definitely be.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of rapid weight loss. Even
yeah.
Whenever I see a headline of that, I'm just not for it at all. There's no lifestyle or way of life being turned on here by a rapid weight loss. Mm-hmm. And how to get there is not sustainable.
Right.
I have a friend at work who's just incredible, very strong woman, and her son is the same age as mine. And she lost a ton of weight in the last 6 months. And, you know, somebody asked her recently, like, how did you do it? And she's like, the old-fashioned, most sustainable way. I worked out, mm-hmm. I became more active, and I ate right. I stopped eating things that my body didn't need.
I gotta write that down.
And by the way, it may take a little longer, but she's running marathons now. I've never run a marathon in my life. You know, she's running marathons now and wearing 00 pants.
Are
she's,
you, going
you
to?
Know, more petite physically, but she's, am I going to run a marathon? No. Probably
just,
not.
Is that on your checklist?
It is not, actually. No.
What is?
What's on my checklist?
Yeah, what's on the bucket list for you?
Oh, good Lord. I think my, currently what I've come to discover about myself with, you know, being pregnant this time around, I think all of the things on my checklist are more mental battles. We were talking about this on the mm-hmm. massage table the other day, more yeah. so than physical ones. Because, you know, as we were talking about, like, I believe that as women, specifically women, we are built for so much and for so much strength. And the only thing stopping us from doing certain things is what we're told. It's the seeds that are planted in our minds and the things that we convince ourselves of that aren't necessarily true. So I think everything on my checklist right now has to do with breaking the cycle of things that I've been doing my whole life mentally that aren't necessarily the healthiest for me or that will help me progress, you know,
You said that if Patrick gives you like something to do, an exercise to do, mm-hmm. but doesn't tell you how many.
Oh, we talked about this. We did. Mm. That's right. Mm. So that mental, oh gosh, that's such a tough one for me. Patrick, do you remember the times that where you're like, you know, drop down and start doing push-ups and I say how many and you're like, I'll let you know when you're done. And I'm like, no, you got to tell me how many because I can't work like this because I sort of ration my energy to finish the task that I've been given, whether you say 10 or 100.
But if I say 15 to 20, how many do you do? Or if I say 15 to...
I'll try and get to, if it's a good day, I'll definitely try and do 20. Right. But the point is you've given me something to ration my energy towards, you know, and then just sort of kind of coming back to the childbirth conversation that Dr. Berlin and I were having the other day is, you know, you don't know how long labor is going to be. It could be 15 hours or it could be 3 hours of push. You just don't know. And that's what is the hardest thing for me to get over. The mental side of it is like not being able to ration my energy to finish the task.
Right. It's the mind control. It's the control.
Right. I'm too controlling over myself.
So that's on your bucket list. You want to be able to
let go. I need to learn how to let go and just sort of like go with the flow a little bit.
How long did you have after River was born to get back to work?
No one ever gave me a timeline.
Oh, as whenever you wanted to?
Well, it was never about that. It was, we are an incredibly family-oriented show, and I think the people that are, you know, above my pay grade are very, very respectful of me, and I think of any woman and actress. And I, you know, I think I would have also fought it if anybody said, you have to be back in shape by episode so-and-so. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in those kind of pressures. I think those, again, are social pressures. They're work-related.
It's nice, but somewhat rare to find in that industry where they're bending over backwards to give you that
100%. They did that for my first pregnancy, and they're doing it for this one.
It's, by the way, really a
they're
family,
really accommodating.
A family show. Your husband... Mm-hmm. is your co-star's brother.
Yes.
Which is a family show.
And his stunt double.
And his stunt double. How did that all come about? Because you started, what happened first? Did you meet your husband or did you start working on the show?
No. I started working on the show, and towards the end of season one, Eric joined us, who plays Deeks on the show, my partner and romantic partner, I guess, towards the end of season one, and they were starting to plant the seeds of these two maybe starting to flirt and banter with each other, and it kind of grew from there. And then at some point during season, maybe the end of season two, I don't remember exactly where in the show, but I had definitely established a character relationship with Eric at this point when I met my husband. And, you know, Eric and I spend 12 to 15 hours a day with each other on set, and sometimes it's just the two of us going through scenes and running lines. And at some point, you know, he's like, you need to meet my brother. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? So Eric started saying, you know, you should meet my brother, and his wife Sarah, now at the time girlfriend, was like, you should meet Dave. Eric conveniently started to invite me to, you know, friends get-togethers that he thought Dave might show up at and stuff, and one day he did, and we started chatting, and I didn't realize that he was the Dave that I was supposed to have met.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we had like a solid like hour to hour and a half conversation about the Middle East.
Wow. There's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, definitely. And he was in the military, so he's been around there. And at some point Eric walked by and I'm like, so who's your brother? And he's like, the guy you're talking to. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. And, you know, and I had felt some sort of attraction for him all in that moment. I thought he was an attractive guy and I loved what he was saying, and, you know, I thought he was very smart, and yeah, and so I was like, okay.
So
but I have to tell you, the initial thing that Eric was saying to me, he's like, you should meet my brother because you like meatheads and he likes brunettes with big shoulders. This was the statement I got, and I said, okay.
What the such a matchmaker.
A meathead. That's nice. Turns out he's not a meathead at all. No, not at all. I am a brunette with big shoulders, though. I mean, that is a fact.
Well, that's half of it, right? What? So for a while, your character is romantically involved with your co-star's brother. Is that awkward at all?
You know, I think the characters spent so much time flirting and bantering, and then out of the blue, no one told us about it, there was this scene that they wrote in where they kissed for the first time, and I feel like, I can't speak for Eric, but I know that for myself, I was a little thrown off just because we actually didn't think that they would ever get to that point, because we always feel like, well, once you get to a certain point in a relationship, where do you go from there? In mm-hmm. in a TV show that could go for 15 years for all you know. So I was like, oh, okay. Didn't expect this. And yeah, I certainly felt awkward in the beginning. I did. Yeah. I don't know about Eric, but I did.
But you told me production was great at that time. Oh. And they almost said one take, just get this over with. Boom,
they were
one
fantastic. Kiss, yeah. Yes. Nobody was trying to extend anything longer than it had to. I mean, and now after 8 years, this was probably 5 years ago, it's just kind of the characters in a relationship. You do the scene, you do what you have to do, and you try and make it the best you can and most believable that you can, because you owe the audience this, who's been keeping up with you for 8 years. And, you know, there are a lot of fans of this relationship, and you don't want to disappoint anybody. And it's only fair. Like, these characters deserve to be together. They've mm-hmm. gone through obstacles. They've fought through a lot of stuff throughout their building of this relationship, and they deserve to be together. It
yeah,
is what it is.
It's not their fault that you and Dave actually
No, exactly.
Fell in love.
You're not going to ruin a show's, you know, a show's plot because I happen to get married.
Imagine the family jokes, though, at the family get-togethers.
It's actually not talked about at family get-togethers
well,
very much, are, you know?
You guys are very tight, right? I mean, as families.
My sister-in-law. And
you're having babies at the same time.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Right.
You guys
twice.
Get together and work out and do things.
Absolutely, yeah.
You're a close family. It's really,
absolutely. I love my in-laws, and Dave loves my parents. I mean, yes, we are a very, very close-knit family. And, yeah, it's interesting because Eric started off as a colleague. He became a very good friend. He became a confidant for me. And then he became family. So it was actually Eric. Yeah,
Eric
so organic.
Eric and Dave are different from each other. And
Dave and Eric?
Yeah.
Oh, night and day.
but they're both great, and we're going to have to drag them in here at some point. We are going to take a quick commercial break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike. Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash. Two more questions about your pregnancy experience, and then I want to talk about one other thing. What, working pregnant now,
mm-hmm.
you're just finishing a season, and just it crossed my mind, you do all these active things. I know they're not letting you do too many stunts, but your character is not pregnant.
No, she's not pregnant.
And she wasn't pregnant 2 years ago.
She was not. No, they send me off to the Middle East every time I get pregnant. That's my punishment. I'm actually already on maternity leave at this point because I am quite close, relatively close to my due date. But they hide it with wardrobe. They're incredible at hiding my pregnancy. Camera angles. Our camera operators are really, really good at that.
It's also amazing how her face looks.
You don't look pregnant.
I mean, her face is.
You don't look pregnant. Right there.
Yeah, I'm lucky because that's
but is
something
it hard
that
physically
I can't
to do the things that you have to do.
You know, I finished off season 7 in my first trimester, and that was tough. Even though obviously
like
I wasn't
nausea
showing.
And vomiting kind of things?
I wasn't vomiting, but I definitely had a lot of morning sickness in this pregnancy. The first time around, I didn't, but this time I did. And because we weren't telling anybody in the first trimester, you know, I kind of had to disguise my – it was actually afternoon sickness for me and nighttime sickness, never in the morning. I was fine in the morning. But it was always, you know, oh, I just ate too much at lunch or, you know, had too much pasta with cream sauce or something. I had to make up reasons why I wasn't feeling very well after lunch. And then you know, my mood as well. I remember I had to hold back on my mood a lot more because I was definitely feeling more aggressively towards things, which I, you know, couldn't show at work, and I wouldn't because nobody deserves that. So Dave got the brunt of it. I would spend the whole day like chatting, happy and being myself, and then get home and just like shout at my husband for doing nothing or for trying to help me with something. So yeah, he got the brunt of it. I've actually apologized to him profusely because I really was not a nice wife at that point.
Oh, at least you know it.
I do. I'm very aware of it. And it's,
that's helpful.
And, but then in the second trimester when it went away, I would get angry at something and he'd be like, okay, are you just being hormonal again? I'm like, no, no, I have the right to be angry about something for real.
How was breastfeeding for you?
Breastfeeding was awesome. I was aiming for a year, but around 8 months, my supply kind of started to drop and River started to lose interest. It kind of was a very organic dropping away of breastfeeding. It was also, we got married when he was about 5 months old, and I also think the stress of organizing a wedding, you know, the dress and the amount of people and the venue and all those, you know, the details of putting a wedding together, I think the stress may have not helped with my milk supply.
Were you back at work?
No, this was over a hiatus. So this was, we got married in June. So, no, I was not back at work. I was breastfeeding throughout the beginning of work. Oh, breastfeeding
really
at work.
Long hours.
Yeah. So my son has been coming to work with me since he was 6 weeks old. So I would take my pump on set with me and pump when I had to. And then anytime that I could make it back, I would, you know, go breastfeed him myself. And obviously weekends, I breastfed as much as I could. Or sent bottles of milk back to my trailer where the nanny was with him.
But you figured out the juggle.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, it became like a second job for sure. It takes
pumping?
Up a lot of time.
Pumping,
yeah, pumping.
Nursing.
I would feed him from one breast and then pump from the other. And kind of so I would always have a supply because I knew I couldn't always make it back to the trailer. But the fact that I could bring him with me and, you know, breastfeed him was a privilege.
Patrick, I had the pleasure of meeting your wife, Dee, who I think is one of the top 10 nicest people
Jesus, sweetheart.
On the planet.
Yep.
How'd you guys meet?
In a gym.
I was hoping you would say that.
Gym. I was really, something weird happened. About a week before, I was watching gymnasts on TV, and I told myself, I wanted a strong woman like that, you know, strong, physical, strong. And she comes upstairs with another gymnast friend in the gym. I said, wow, what's going on here? So, yeah.
Well, that's a great motivator to get people to go to the gym.
Yeah, there you go. You can meet.
So she was a gymnast.
She was a serious gymnast, yes. She had a full ride scholarship at UCLA. And
wow.
Yeah, she was very. She did gymnastics from 5 years old all the way through college.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you have a couple of kids.
Yes, 5 and 2.
So
2.5 and 5.5.
Are there things that you do? You're both very active, but are there things that you do specifically early on at this age to get kids more excited about fitness or kind of down a healthier path?
Absolutely. We
what
have our kids
things?
Involved in so much. My son Parker's even doing hip hop. He's in soccer. They're both in swim. And we have Avery in dance class.
It's fun for them.
Oh, yeah. And we go to the park several times a week. I mean, yeah, they're always active. They're always outside. We don't use the iPad much. We don't use those kid games.
I mean,
you know, we'll use that to save it. We're in a restaurant, and Dee and I just want to take a break. We'll use it, but they're outside so much, and they're just so active, so it's great. We definitely implement.
What about nutritionally for them?
We're 90-10, 90% organic. You know,
I remember my first son when he was two. We used to, before this moment. We had him convinced that nuts were candy.
Wow.
Okay. So he would ask for candy, and I'd be like, okay, but just like one or two pieces.
One or two almonds, here you
like
go.
An almond or a cashew or something like that.
Oh, that's great.
But I remember the time when someone gave him a lollipop for the first time, and he put it in his mouth, and it was almost like you could
elation.
See the whistles
oh, yeah.
and bells go off. Like, holy cow, this is candy. And, you know, he never wanted nuts again. He was like, no, yeah. Not that candy. I want the blue candy or the red candy. Yeah. So, I mean, it starts young.
Absolutely. And my kids do have a lollipop. It's an organic lollipop. I'd like to really quick touch on the subject of organic, which you don't hear too often on, kind of gets rid of the conversation if they're good or not. Genetically modified food's been around for a very long time. It's what's accompanied with the GMOs today, and it's called the pesticide. One of the most used one is called glyphosate. Well, glyphosate originated in the late 50s, and it's a mineral stripper, and it used to be used in industrial pipes. So now glyphosate is on our food, most of all the processed foods, the conventional foods, and guess what? It's taking iron and magnesium out of our bodies. Right?
Stripping our minerals.
That's right. And we know how important that is with pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Magnesium for the baby and
Why
iron.
Everybody getting leg cramps, not enough magnesium
so
and calcium. And
that's just
how
one.
How do you breastfeed without minerals? How do babies build bones?
Exactly. So how about the mother that only eats conventional foods all the time? What's going on there with the balance, right? So that's one of the reasons why you would want to eat more organic than not. It's just because of all the pesticides and chemically laden foods.
Are there specific, like if you have to start somewhere, because organic is more expensive and your health, you only get one shot at it. So.
Yeah, so a good step would be staying away from highly refined processed foods and eating whole food form. So you would have an apple, not apple juice. You would have brown rice, not brown rice pasta.
Okay.
Yeah, you'd stay away from the flour products.
All right.
Well, also, to be honest with you, you can also kind of do family activities where if you can't afford organic food, which as you were saying, is the case for a lot of people or people who have big families. I mean, if you can, make that small financial sacrifice, at least during pregnancy or something, when it's a crucial time in your life, go ahead and do that, or honestly, plant it.
Mm-hmm.
Like plant stuff at home. We actually do that all the time. Yeah, my husband Dave makes homemade salsa, and we grow the tomatoes ourselves.
We just planted.
And
it's as if you're in my head. We planted a garden. Great. We're just getting now the tomatoes and the cucumbers and the basil and the lettuce.
Yeah, and
the kids are like fascinated by that little seed turning into that massive plant.
Exactly. That's what I was gonna say. It's so much fun for kids to be doing that too. Like that's a full fledged hour activity for my son and I or if I'm working and he's home with our babysitter, then, they're out in the yard and he eats basil off the plant. He eats parsley and cilantro off the plant. And we know that, at worst he's getting a little bit of dust because it's, a backyard or a vase or something like that. But he has so much fun doing that. And his palate is so extensive at this point because he's been, we've been involving him in that for so
That's
long
great.
And avoiding, the bad sugars and stuff like that.
Dave's kind of a healthy eater.
He is now. Again, he is now. When we started dating, I think we were both a little loosey-goosey with stuff. I was kind of dabbling in the organic side of things.
Organic French toast?
What's that?
Organic French grilled cheese, was it?
Grilled cheese. I just love grilled cheese.
Organic grilled cheese.
When I got pregnant with River, him and I started doing a whole lot more reading and research on the benefits of some things and the lack of benefits in others. So I think what changed our lives was really getting pregnant. Because the whole sugar thing, we don't give River sugar. At most, we put a little bit of honey in his yogurt, but that's it. He's never had candy. He's never had a regular cookie. He's never had cake unless I make it at home and, it's sweetened with a ripe banana or something. Mm.
That's certainly eating out too often really wreaks havoc on the body and
like every day.
Well, and it's expensive.
Eating out too often.
Yeah.
Twice a day.
Yeah.
All right. You guys are a wealth of information. And I started by saying wealth of information and inspiration. I could sit here talking to you for a very long time. And I am gonna go home, by the way. In the car I'm gonna be thinking about the things we talked about and I'm gonna make some changes.
Yay.
Michael already eats pretty healthy.
I do. I eat pretty healthy. But I will continue to eat healthy. Thank you for your inspiration.
I feel like you're the person that makes the baked goods and gives them out but doesn't eat them.
My wife. That's my wife.
I get to Dr. Berlin's office once and he's like, want a cupcake? My kids made them. And I was like, I'll take it. I'll eat it.
You're right, too, because I have so many allergies and I'm always cooking for other people. So I make things I can't eat all the time.
Bam, I got it.
Isn't that interesting? And people have so many more allergies nowadays than I feel like they used to.
Yeah.
Right? Kids are being born or develop more allergies than I've ever heard of growing up myself.
Yeah, that's a whole nother
conversation. I think also that we have access to more food.
Yeah.
I feel like 100 years ago we weren't eating like Chinese food.
Yeah.
Well, But it's also the way, again, the process.
The flavoring.
The flavoring, the process.
Coloring.
Now,
oh, yeah,
the process,
yeah.
You know, a lot of food has gluten in it, but it's never had as much gluten as it has now. So if you had a slight intolerance and you ate something, it's like, well, there's not that much in it. But nowadays, gluten is just like in everything.
Yeah. I feel like I wish I could take you guys home with me and be there and coach me and guide me through changes that I really want to make. And I know there's some early talk of a project that you might be working on together. So
yep.
We are going to definitely stay in touch and follow that along.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
I will be first in line when you get it worked out. Thank you so much for sharing openly your personal stories and professional expertise.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, yeah. Anytime. You can follow Daniela Rua on Twitter and Instagram at Daniela Rua. And on Facebook at Oficial Daniela Rua, Oficial Daniela Rua. And you can follow Patrick on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Murphy Fitness. Michael's online at doulamichael.com, and Michael is spelled MYCHAL.
Yes, and I'm on Twitter at feminist_doula.
Ah, that's why it was taken. And
so sorry.
You can follow my latest adventures on Instagram and Twitter at Dr. Berlin, DocTorBerlin. For notes, links, pictures, and juicy bonus materials from this podcast, visit informedpregnancy.com. And your questions and comments are always welcome via email to info@informedpregnancy.com.
I got a whole lot of questions for you. This kid's gonna test my will. I got a lot to learn and my baby's due.
This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike. Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash.